if you are trying to push towards a world where you're only consuming art that is 100% a mirror for you and your life experiences and how you would show up in every single situation, you are going to be so bored. You're going to be so fucking bored, and also you're not going to have any critical thinking skills. You'll never have to have an opinion of your own if everyone is just a fucking mirror for you. What's up, you guys, and welcome back to Emotionally Online, the weekly slumber party for spilling guts and sharing secrets, hosted by yours truly, the one and only Maddie Drosbeck, inventor of sleepovers, keeper of secrets. I spill my guts on the pod, and also I'm spilling my secrets on the pod, and also I am keeping the secrets and guts with which you share and spill with me, okay? This is a very reciprocal relationship. What happens on the pod stays on the pod. I'm so happy to be back. So happy to be sitting here on the mic, reunited with you guys once more. And I just want to say I appreciate the patience that you've had with me over the last couple weeks. Obviously, not last week, but the week before, I very unexpectedly wasn't able to do a show for you guys because I learned that my uncle had very unexpectedly passed away. So I needed to show up for my family members and focus on other things. So that is what I've been doing. I appreciate your patience with me. It sucks. And I feel like sometimes in processing grief, some of the only things you can do is just be together, find little pockets of joy, joke, laugh, indulge in a prank or two, with which we explored many in the last week. I've been making ridiculousness jokes for the last 6 months, probably. Now I do feel like it is entering another era. We're going back into it. Pranks are back, you guys. The art of a Joe Mama joke was simply never lost in my household. I honestly think playing Quiplash with my family a couple years ago revived the Joe Mama joke, because every time somebody wrote Joe Mama on Quiplash, it got a laugh. And then it just never stopped. It was like you could get got even during a game of Quiplash. Nowhere was safe. You could be Joe Mama'd at any point in time, any place, anywhere. And I really hate to tell all of you guys this, but I got Joe Mama'd hard. I got Joe Mama'd harder than I had ever been Joe Mama'd in my entire fucking life. We were on the way to the airport to pick my sister up, and my mom turns to my dad and she's like, "Oh, by the way, Joe Cassidy called. He says hi, wanted to see how you were doing. Yada yada." Silence. 20 seconds goes by and she goes, "Oh, by the way, Maddie, Joe says hi." And in my head, I don't even know who the fuck Joe Cassidy is. So I was like, who the fuck is Joe? She got me so fucking good, because she turned to me in that moment. She fucking big ass grin on her face and she's like, "Joe Mama." Fuck. That is such a rookie move on my part. Joe says hi. Who the fuck is Joe? Joe Mama. It was a unique set of circumstances that allowed her to get away with this, because normally I would have caught that. But she had such a good setup weaving in my dad that I didn't even catch it. So from that point forward, I decided that my revenge was imminent. I needed to get her back for this. Hugh Jass was on the table for sure. He was there. We also had Jenna Tulls. She was my second option, really. The only reason why I didn't end up going with Jenna Tulls was because my mom has a friend named Jenna. And I worried that if I used the name Jenna, she wouldn't have said, "Who's Jenna?" She would have been like, "You mean this Jenna?" Instead, I landed on Phil McCracken. Yes, Phil McCracken. He met us at the family dinner table one night. I had been out in the downtown area with my grandma and one of her sisters, and we went jewelry shopping and we're just sort of walking around. And at dinner that night, I leaned over to my mom and I said, "Oh, by the way, we saw Phil over at Bill and Bob's and he says hi." And it was like, there was something about the combination of all the names and the places. You know, there's a lot of possibilities. I thought that I could really slip this in and trick her. Lo and behold, we did it, Joe. We fucking did it, Joe. She looked at me and she goes, "Who's Phil?" And I gave her exactly the same smirk that she gave me. I looked at her. I smiled. I took my beat. I let her understand that I had got her before I could even deliver the got. And I said, Phil McCracken, and lost my fucking mind. It was the Joe Mama attack of the century, but it was the Phil McCracken comeback of a lifetime, people. That's what matters. At the end of the day, if you get Joe Mama'd, you can still Phil McCracken. And that is a lesson that I think we should all take away from this. So I mentioned on the podcast a couple weeks ago that my family signed up, booked a little whitewater rafting trip. And I wanted to do this the least of anyone that's ever lived, probably. There was no part of me that wanted to go whitewater rafting, but I was, you know, I had no choice. I had no say in the matter. And this isn't the first time I've been whitewater rafting. I went once as a Girl Scout. I was maybe like 9 or 10 years old. And then we went as a family when I was probably like 11 or 12. Shortly after I went as a Girl Scout. And the big difference between me then and me now was I was just a child, unaware of my own opinions and thoughts on the world and on whitewater rafting. But I need you to understand that now I'm a 28-year-old woman with opinions on goddamn everything. Okay? I know exactly how I feel about whitewater rafting, and it's not something that I'm interested in doing. But here we were, going whitewater rafting, and there was nothing I could do about it. So we drive like 4 hours up north in Maine, get to this whitewater rafting spot. We are staying in a cabin the full weekend. And here's the thing about me, is that I'm a diva, loud and proud with no desire to change. I am a diva and I don't need to not be a diva, okay? I prefer the luxuries that life has to offer me. I love AC. I believe that I should be in AC all the goddamn time. I love warm showers. You know, I love bidets. I love not being around bugs. I love never stepping in dirt. These are things that I enjoy about my life. Listen, I get there are a lot of people out there that love camping in tents, that love camping in cabins, that love being in the woods, that aren't afraid of a tick and a mosquito. Unfortunately, I am not one of them. We walked into the cabin. My sister sees a mouse. I'm like, this is going to be the longest weekend of my life. Not only do I have to fight for my life on a raft in rapids, but I also have to camp, which is not something that is within my wheelhouse. And listen, I fucking get it. There's going to be many people that are like, oh, she's such a diva. She's so dramatic. She's hot, so high maintenance. And to that, I say, yes. To that, I say, absolutely, babe. Okay. I do not care if you think I'm a diva. I've inherited the diva-isms from my mother. It's genetic. It doesn't matter. Some people, they want to live all crunchy and do that stuff. I don't. I love plumbing. I love it. There we were. There we were in northern Maine getting ready to go on the rafting trip of a lifetime. And I am terrified. Terrified. Okay. And I tell the guide this. We're walking to the river and I tell the guide that's going with us, like, I am scared. I am scared. I am anxious. I'm not feeling the most excited to do this. Just so we're all on the same page. There was a group of 7 of us total. So he really only needed 6, 3 on each side to paddle. So there was 1 extra person. Our guide purposefully had me sit in the back near him. And every time we were about to hit a rapid, he told me, ignore my commands, just hunker down, duck and cover, and fucking hold on. So whenever we were going to hit a rapid, he would tap me on the shoulder and whisper to me to hold on. So I wasn't doing shit. I was paddling when we weren't in the rapids, but the second we hit a rapid, I was doing my best to hold the fuck on. And you know what? Everyone else on the boat should be grateful for that, because if I didn't hold on, I would have fallen out at every single fucking rapid and you guys would have had to stop and find a way to rescue me every fucking time. Every fucking time. I almost fell out of the boat when I wasn't paddling, when I was just solely focused on survival, on holding on. I was still almost falling out every goddamn time. So you know what? You should all be very thankful that I did not try to paddle. and that I just focused on holding on. That's what all of you would have wanted me to do. Okay? The third rapid we get to, third or fourth rapid we get to, they call it the swimming rapid because it is not as intense as some of the other ones. So you can get out and let the rapid sort of, you know, take you down the river. Nobody explained to me what this meant. They said swimming rapid. I was in my head like lazy river. I was in my head like we're in the lazy river at water country and maybe it has like the wave pool feature installed in it as well. In my head, it wasn't like dangerous necessarily. It was just, you know, pushing me along. I could swim in it. They told me it's called the swimming rapid that we're all supposed to go do it. So the guide asks everyone in the boat, are you guys all going to get out and do the swimming rapid? All of my family members say, yeah, we're going to get out and do the swimming rapid. He looks at me and I'm like, well, I guess I'm going to do it too, since all of them are. And I do feel that this would have been an opportune time to warn me that maybe I shouldn't do the swimming rapid, that maybe it's just not for me. Maybe that's not a thing for me to do as someone who is already scared to be whitewater rafting, isn't a strong swimmer, and ultimately was very scared all day long. Maybe this wasn't going to be for me. But that did not happen. So we get, I don't know, like 50 feet away from the swimming rapid. We all jump out of the boat and he tells us to, you know, like lean back a little bit to float. We have life jackets on to float into the swimming rapid. I still am fucking confused though. So I don't know what this means. This is when problem number one came in. You know how seat belts were designed and tested on men and they like, you know, if you're a person with boobs, wearing a seatbelt is like the most uncomfortable thing ever because it just goes straight up to your throat because your boobs push it up. I feel the same way about life jackets where I'm like, this so clearly was not designed for someone with boobs. Every life jacket I ever put on, the second I go in water, it pushes itself up and eventually like it's like my head starts to sink into the life jacket because it can't stay down because of my chest. I don't know if I'm describing this well, but I think if you have boobs and you've worn a life jacket before, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Life jackets, it helps. Obviously, they allow you to float. And also, you can be kind of taken down by a life jacket as well because they're not really fitted perfectly for our body shape. I remembered this right as I hopped in the water. So I jump in the water, and if I go on my stomach, then I can get the life jacket to stay under my chest. And it was tight as hell, by the way. The life jacket, I made him tighten it right before I got out. So I was being crushed. I was being fucking corseted in by this life jacket. It did not matter. It didn't matter, okay? Just for anyone that was gonna say that. I jump in the water. I realize if I lean forward, it can stay down. But if I lean back the way you told me do, it starts like riding up to my chin and makes me feel like I'm sinking into the life jacket and I'm not actually being, you know, floated by it. If I lay all the way back with my head towards the sky, then I feel fine. So mind you, I'm in a rapid. We're in a rapid. We're moving towards the like big part of the rapid. So I'm like trying to figure out how to not drown and I can't figure it out. So at the last second, my dad is yelling at me like, just lay back, lay back. And so I'm like, okay, I'll just lay back. And so I'm like floating on my back going towards this rapid, which if you're understanding the picture that I'm selling you here is a real goddamn problem because I need to see the rapids that I am going into so I know when to breathe. Oh my God. They also told me to breathe through a straw. They were like, pretend you're breathing through a straw. So I was like, and so I'm laying flat on my back, breathing through a straw. The second we hit the rapid, I want you to guess what fucking happened. I inhaled a bunch of goddamn water. And then I am trying to catch my breath, but I am in rapids, so I can't. I'm just continuously getting pushed down. I'm sucking in more water. I'm having the panic attack of the fucking century. I'm like, this is exactly why I didn't want to go whitewater rafting. I am not built for this. So I'm getting pushed around. I have a panicked look on my face. I'm coughing. I eventually gain enough oxygen to let out a scream. I don't know how this happened, but they got me back on the boat. So I was fine, but it did take me a while to catch my breath after that. And I was like, why did none of you warn me about this? Like the guide, yes, 100%. And also my dad, Luke, and my mom did that same exact whitewater rafting trip last year. So they also knew. Why did y'all let me do that? Why did you let me? You should have told me, Maddie, you know what? This one's not going to be for you. You are not a strong enough swimmer to do this. Hello? What's going on? So we get to the end of the whitewater rafting trip and my family's like, that was so much fun. Let's do it again next year. And I'm like, you guys have fun. You guys have fun because I will not be attending. I have no desire to do that again. That was not fun to me. My thing is like, I'm not an adrenaline junkie. I like to do fun things that give you like a rush. Like I love roller coasters, but I love roller coasters because they feel like controlled and contained fun. I'm not worried about a roller coaster malfunctioning. You know, I am not concerned about a roller coaster that I go on having like a fluke accident. That seems like the probability of that is low. The probability of me falling out of the boat and getting caught in a rapid and inhaling water during a whitewater rafting trip, that's a much higher possibility, right? That is not controlled fun. That's like the risk you take when you go whitewater rafting. You have to sign waivers and shit. I don't have to sign a waiver to go on Bizarro at Six Flags. So my thing is like, I don't need to do things that put my life at risk in that kind of way. I don't need to go skydiving. I don't need to do crazy shit like that. Give me controlled adventure, controlled fun. I'll take a roller coaster any day of the week. Whitewater rafting, I'm good. I'm sincerely good. And honestly, this is how I've been for years. I was sent to Camp High Rock, a YMCA camp, when I was like 13. A lot of my friends went. This was the summer that I started going to theater camp. I also went to Camp High Rock for a week because all my friends loved it. And I fucking hated it. It's a camp in the middle of the woods, a bunch of fucking cabins. My friends made me do high ropes, which I also didn't want to do. And they made you jump off the top of a tree on a bungee cord. What? I was 13 years old being like, you guys are crazy. I want to do arts and crafts. You guys are crazy. Send me in with the theater kids. I want to pretend to be a squirrel. Like, I don't want to put my life at risk. I have no desire to walk on a tightrope at the top of the forest or jump off a tree. I don't want to do that. I don't want to. I'm sorry if that makes me a diva, okay? I'm sorry if me not wanting to risk my life makes me a diva. Fine, I'm a diva then. Sue me for being a fucking div. So I won't be doing that again with peace and love. Thank you guys so much. You have so much fun with that. I will be going to an all-inclusive resort and letting a mimosa be brought to me while I'm in the hot tub. What are we talking, people? Some of us just like to do different things on our vacations, and that's okay. Some of us just like to do different kinds of trips. And to me, doing a whitewater rafting trip is just not it. It's just not it. And I won't be doing it again. Thank you. Now, having said all of that, did I still have a good time? Yes. Did I have a laugh? Did I have a chuckle? Yes, I did. I was giggling it up when we were in those rapids and I was trying my hardest to stay inside the boat. And we had a great time just hanging out by the pool afterwards, drinking. We made a little music video to Gary Come Home by the one and only SpongeBob SquarePants. So we had a good time. I'm a moldable, flexible woman. I can have fun no matter where I am, even in dire circumstances. But just know that I will be taking mental note of it, and I don't need to do that again. With peace and love, of course, always. love my family members, love spending time with you guys, literally could stare at a wall for 48 hours with you guys and I'd have the best time of my life. Do I need to go whitewater rafting again for a fourth time? Because I've unexplainably been three times throughout my lifetime already. I don't think so. So Renee Rapp released her latest album called Bite Me. I've been loving it. I've been living for it. What I haven't been living for is some of the discourse I've seen online about her album. Now, this what I'm about to say is so deeply unsurprising because I've had this take in 100 different ways. So I'm sure you guys know that this is my take on this kind of shit at this point. But every time I see it, I'm gobsmacked because I'm like, you guys don't even know what you're asking for. Like, I don't think that you are really grasping what it is that you are requesting of the media and the artists that create the media you consume when you say things like this. I don't think you actually want it, but let's talk about it. Some of the criticisms that I saw for Renee's album was people that were upset with how honest and blunt Renee was in confronting the ways in which she has been the villain within her dating life at times, the references to cheating, the one song titled I Can't Have You Around Me Anymore, and these kind of very much not black and white relationship dynamics and situations in which Renee may have played a more negative role, may or may not have. None of us know the specifics of these situations. All that we have is the art that has been created as a result of whatever it is that Renee has gone through and has felt throughout her life. And when I see people write these like paragraph essays getting angry at Renee for singing about cheating or like the blurring of lines and boundaries within relationships and how she's struggled with that, when I see people get up in arms about this and want to like shame Renee for the way she has chosen to write about those experiences and share this body of work, I'm like, I need you guys to honestly sit back and think about what your objective outcome is there. You go online, you write these paragraphs about why Renee is a bad person, why you can't stomach this. Your objective to me appears to be to want to shame Renee. And maybe some people just want to like yell into the void and that's that. But I think I feel so conscious of like the artist seeing that kind of feedback. Like, what would happen if Renee read all of these paragraphs upon paragraphs of people saying these nasty, terrible things about her? And she thinks to herself, you know what? I don't like being talked to like this. So now I'm going to write music that is less honest. I'm going to share less of the, you know, nuances and complications of my own emotions and the experiences that I've had, because I don't appreciate people writing me off the second that I write something that is, you know, paints me in a light that is more complicated rather than giving them like a breakup anthem. I'll give them songs where they can root for me as the person singing the song, as the voice on the track. I will give them music where they can root for me and be on my side and agree with me. But any story that requires me calling myself out or describing ways that I've shown up in unfavorable light, I'm just not going to share it because people can't handle it and they don't react well to that. I just can't help but sit here and be like, art would be so fucking boring if we shamed everyone into not being honest about the full complexities of their human experiences. Like, if we shame people into not sharing about the times where they have fucked up or they've been the villain, like if we go further and further down this path of shaming everyone who is honest about the times they have behaved as kind of an ass, or were times where they've been the villain. If you're not allowed to create art or talk about your life, share your stories, create something meaningful, if you're not allowed to do that unless you are the protagonist in some way, if you are not the hero in some way, if we're getting rid of all of the more complicated stories that we have in art in favor of ones that you can agree with and you can feel good about, I think that is so deeply fucking stupid. And we talked about this last week in the context of reality TV and people only wanting to consume reality TV when they like the stars, or people getting mad when they are consuming a reality TV series and they think that one of them is a bad person. And there are exceptions to everything, right? Where I'm not saying that everyone is defensible here. I'm talking about Renee Rapp specifically, the same way last week we were talking about Love Island UK and Vanderpump Rules, at least what I've seen of it so far. And I've also talked about this within movies, people going to the movies and having these bad takes when they leave because they didn't like the characters. They thought the characters were bad people. I think it's getting worse. This like aversion that people have to consuming art and media that depicts imperfect people, complicated people, people who are sometimes the villain. When I was reading the feedback that I was seeing from people on TikTok about Renee's album, it almost felt like because these people loved Renee and they were fans of her and they really loved her music and it's been like a comfort to her, she's a gay icon for them, like because they love and admire Renee, to learn that she has been a villain in any way in her own life is almost like a kind of like shattering of the perfect image to them that makes them angry, which I think is really weird. And I don't know why people have this like dedication to wanting the people that they are consuming, whether they like them or not, to be these like perfect, infallible people. When I listened to Renee's album, I love Renee. I'm a big Renee Rapp fan. When I listened to her album, it didn't make me think any differently of her. Number one, because I'm a stranger and a fan of her work as an artist. I'm not here to, you know, crank down the gavel and be the final ruler on her goodness as a person. And I believe that art should be honest. I loved her album for how like truly raw it was to write about stories where you don't look the best and to share that and put it out anyways, I think is just like speaks to your integrity as an artist. I appreciate that. I liked it. When I listen to people's music, I am not listening to the lyrics and judging their morality because I don't fucking know them. I don't fucking know them. This is art at the end of the day. And listen, if a young 20-something year old woman gets a little messy in her dating life, like it's just not, who fucking cares, to put it bluntly? Why do you only want to consume art that is good, one note and positive? Why do you only want to consume art that is a mirror for your good traits, but not for your bad ones? Or a mirror for the good traits you see in others, but not in the more complicated, not even bad, more complicated traits that you perceive in other people? Why is it that some of you have an aversion to consuming flawed stories, flawed characters, flawed narratives? Why is it that we are getting like farther and farther away from being able to stomach people and stories that are like more complicated and not all good? And sometimes people that you love, artists that you love, are gonna be the villain in the stories they tell. Why are we so set on only wanting to consume art that is like correct and good? Like, do y'all not think that is fucking boring? Do y'all, honest to God, Someone answer me. Do you not think that is so deeply fucking boring? And I feel like there could definitely be an essay to be written here between the pipeline from this, what we're talking about right now, to like the Your Fave is Problematic Tumblr page, where they had like a detailed filing of every slightly problematic thing that every public person did and said ever. Like that being the catalyst for so much fucking nonsense that has happened since then. I feel like I look back to that blog and I'm like, God, could they have known the kind of like downward spiral that we would go in since then? Have your own opinions. If you hate the album, if you don't like it, if you can't stomach listening to it, if you decide that someone's art is just not for you anymore, then fine, by all means. But there's something sinister to like trying to shame the artist into being less honest that I just don't like. I don't like that people are so uncomfortable with stories that are not perfect mirrors for how they feel or how they would have acted in a certain scenario that they are also not in. I don't like when people get nasty and try to shame people out of telling more complex stories because it makes them uncomfortable in some way. And there are exceptions to everything, right? So don't give me an extreme fucking example that you know I would disagree with and be like, well, what about this? Shut the fuck up. Obviously, we're not talking about that. We're talking about Renee Rapp's album and it's, you know, social equivalence to that. Don't get me started. Again, you are allowed to at any point decide that someone's art is no longer for you. What is troubling to me is the amount of people that are clearly very uncomfortable with consuming art that challenges them in any way, or consuming art that they disagree with, consuming art from someone that they like, who puts out a song with a story that they disagree with, or they see them as the villain in that story. I think it is bad if you can't stomach having a more complex reaction to a piece of art. I do. I think that's really something to look into. If the only reaction you can have to a piece of art in order to enjoy it is to agree with it and not along, I think that there's a major problem. I think you should be able to consume a piece of media, to listen to a song, to listen to, you know, let's look at the lyrics. It's the one song that I saw people saying this about it a lot was the I Can't Be Around You Anymore off Renee's album. But I also saw people saying it about that other lyric in I Think You'd Like That, Wouldn't You? Where she's like, and I promise I'd never, ever, ever cheat again. Even though I think that's taken out of context. Anyways, the lyrics for I Can't Have You Around Me Anymore. I get funny when you're around me. We always do dumb shit and piss everybody off. Tell me where you'll be and I'll leave my own party. It's probably a problem if it's this hard to stop. Now it's causing lots of issues with my baby at home because in every single picture we're a little too close. And I love you, but I wanna, and it's making me feel unsure. So I can't have you around me anymore. Somehow we always end up naked. Nothing ever happens, but it still feels real good. And I wish she didn't, but I see why she hates it. She wants to be the only one who's allowed to look. It's the root of every issue. It's the reason we fight, and I don't want to have to choose, but I'm taking a side because if it isn't me, it's her who's gonna close the door. So I can't have you around me anymore. There's places we went that I'll keep to myself, and you got to know me a little too well, but she'll never be someone I wish that I didn't know, and she'll never be you, but she keeps me on course, and I'm not supposed to wonder if I should be yours, so I can't have you around me anymore. It's clearly a song about two people having a very intense chemistry with each other. There may or may not be emotional cheating or actual cheating, depending on what you see cheating as or what the, you know, specific rules and boundaries you have in your relationship are. But it's clearly a very, you know, blurred lines kind of relationship and talking about her role in that. You should be able to listen to the lyrics in that song and just hear someone else's story, their kind of like grappling with their own emotions without having to project your own moral assessment onto it. Like, when I just read those lyrics, there wasn't a part of me in the back of my head that was like, oh, well, if I was Renee, I wouldn't have thought that. It's really weird that she did, and she's a bad person for thinking that. And also, it's a fucking song. Like, it's a piece of art. I can't deal with people who also want to consume something and be like, take it at face value and assume that they are reading a completely true, not fictionalized at all story. Like, part of songwriting is writing what sounds good. Like, some of it might be true and some of it might not be. It might just be part of the poetry of songwriting. It's not like everything you listen to is one-to-one recount of what happened and you were fucking there and you can make an assessment about it. Like, when I listen to these lyrics, when I'm listening to Renee's album, I am struck by how honest it feels. I'm struck by how gorgeous her vocals are. I'm struck by how complicated, how truly complicated writing a song about this kind of topic is, and how I respect her for it. I think it's cool. I think it's awesome. I loved it. There is no part of me that sat here reading those lyrics thinking to myself, well, I would never do that. So that's fucking weird. And now I don't like Renee rap anymore. Like, what? It's like we've just gotten more and more uncomfortable with people being complex, with good people doing bad things, or, you know, being unable to look at someone and see them as all good or all bad. I think we've also gotten uncomfortable with just disagreeing with someone and being able to say, okay, we would behave different ways in different situations, and that is okay. And we actually don't all have to behave the exact same way in order to respect each other or to consume this kind of art and like it and whatever else. Do you understand what I'm saying? I just feel like I keep seeing more and more of this, and it is annoying to me. I think it's a very bad take. And when people say shit like this, I have to sit back and be like, I actually don't think that you want what you're claiming to want. When you sit there and like shame Renee and are like, this is bad, this is no good, this is so awful and terrible, and how could she do this? It's like, if you are trying to push towards a world where you're only consuming art that is 100% a mirror for you and your life experiences and how you would show up in every single situation, you are going to be so bored. You're going to be so fucking bored, and also you're not going to have any critical thinking skills. You'll never have to have an opinion of your own if everyone is just a fucking mirror for you and you agree with everyone around you and you agree with how people handle all of the things that they write about in their fucking songs and the art that they produce. Like, you're supposed to have a reaction. Holy fuck. Media literacy is never going to die on this corner of the internet. That's just what we got to hang on to these days, people, okay? All right, let's jump into some of these audience submissions. These have been sitting in the box for a while, since it's been 2 weeks since I've opened it. So let's get ourselves caught up here. Hi, Maddie. Thank you for showing us how to keep our hearts open. I was seeing a guy recently where I felt the connection was very strong. We matched on multiple topics. Time was passing without us noticing. We had a first date of 9 hours, and he also seemed enthusiastic to get to know me. Unfortunately, his best friend called him and admitted to have romantic feelings, and as he had those in the past, he decided to try dating her as his feelings for her resurfaced. He asked to be friends and was clearly sad that he had to reject me, but I feel destroyed as he really felt like the perfect match for me. Should I keep hoping for a future possibility, or how to soothe my heart that what I want is just not out there for me? A few things. One, just because this one person isn't gonna be the right fit for you doesn't mean that what you are looking for is not out there. And we can't let so much of our worldview or our hope in regards to love be swayed by one person. That's number one. Number two, I think the beauty of pacing in a relationship should not be understated, particularly in early dating. I think sometimes it is possible to put too much value in like the quickness of pace in early dating because it makes you feel more secure than you actually are in reality. Whenever people talk about going on like a really long first date as being a sign that they were so compatible or that this person was the one or that, you know, they really were more secure in this relationship and that, you know, this really is, it's all going the way I want it to. Like I don't think that that actually means as much as people think it does. It's awesome to go on a first date where the time is getting away from you and you're having so much fun enjoying each other's company. That's awesome. It's not worth nothing. Clearly you had a good time. That's why you kept hanging out with each other. But to look at that long first date as being like the sign that you were meant for each other, I think that is like a false equivalency. At the end of the day, that is one date. That is hanging out with each other one time. That is not enough time to get to know someone and know that you are completely right for each other. I'm assuming you maybe went on more than just the one date, but this does sound like it was early stages of dating, first couple dates, where this, you know, a friend came back and admitted having feelings and they ended up wanting to date them. That's fine. It's awesome to go on a date with someone and have it go so well and to, you know certainly that you want to continue getting to know them. But I wouldn't latch on to the fact that your first date was 9 hours and use that as proof for why you're actually meant to be together. I think it actually takes longer than most people would like to admit to figure out if you're going to be right for someone. I don't think 9 hours is nearly enough time to know that. There are certain things that you can't unlock within one conversation. You have to sort of live through a period of time getting to know someone, slowly unlocking more bits of life together, going through different things, sharing that with each other to know that someone's really who you want to be with. I don't think that you can go on one date with someone or go on 2, 3, 4 dates with someone and be able to sit back and say, this person was confidently so perfect for me and now they're dating someone else and I feel like I just lost, you know, this like mega connection. I think sometimes you have to sort of take a step back and look at the situation for what it is. You went on a great date, you had a good time, and you were interested in getting to know them more. That is all we know. You don't know that you were a perfect match. You don't know that you would have ended up together. You don't know that it would have been, you know, this beautiful, perfect fairy tale that you probably have inside your head. You don't know those things. All you know is that you had a great date with them, you enjoyed the connection, and you wanted to explore it further. That's it. They don't want to do that because they're exploring a connection with their best friend. Totally fair. We just have to sort of accept that and move on. I think when we feed ourselves these stories inside our head of like, oh, it was a 9-hour date, that must mean something grand and spectacular, we almost like set ourselves up to be hurt. You're convincing yourself that you have a higher level of closeness with someone than you actually do. It is very easy, especially in early dating, when you don't know someone and you don't have a lot of information about them yet, to take the little bits that you do learn and fill in all the gaps yourself. Fill in all the gaps to the point where you convince yourself that they were the perfect match for you. We can't be doing that because you don't know that. And you're hurting your own feelings by convincing yourself that that is the truth or that that is what you're missing out on. All you knew was that you had a great time on the date, you felt really connected to him, and you were excited to hang out with him and get to know him further. That is not what's going to happen. So that's fine. Turns out you were not the right fit for each other. I would not wait around to see if he's going to break up with this person or if that's not going to happen, because at the end of the day, you don't really know him that well. And you can be upset that you didn't get to explore this connection further, but I wouldn't escalate it to the point of, you know, accepting that the thing you want isn't actually out there. It definitely still is. It just doesn't sound like it's with this person. And that's okay. Hi, Maddie. A friend of mine recently said something very hurtful. It may or may not have been intended to hurt me, but either way, it did, and I don't know how to get over it. Essentially, we were talking about our beautiful friendship group, and that led to her ranking us on a scale of looks. I'm really uncomfortable with this, as I do not like being compared on that scale by people I'm supposedly close to, and stated my issue with it in general, as being not a very nice thing to do to anyone, let alone your friends. I think it's just a very bully/boyish thing to do, and I, of course, was worried about where I'd come on the ranking. No matter where I came, I would have been uncomfortable, but needless to say, she didn't rank me very high up. I didn't want to appear insecure or particularly vain, but it did upset me, and I couldn't look her in the eye or really speak to her afterwards. It felt really mean, especially considering I didn't want to know in the first place or encourage it. I know this is just her personal opinion, but it worries me that this is a reflection of everyone's thoughts, and I also abhor the fact that she was comfortable verbalizing and even thinking about those thoughts about us. I don't know if I can get over it, given that this isn't the first situation where she has said something boldly without caring about others' feelings, particularly mine. This more so felt like a personal put down, as it was only us and nobody else was around to hear it. Should I have a talk with her or just try to forget? I think distancing myself would be good, but she is one of my best friends, so that would hurt too. I'm just incredibly frustrated and don't know what to do, as I know this isn't how friends should treat each other. This is more event than anything, but any thoughts would be appreciated. Yeah, this is crazy. I don't know why people do this. I don't know why anybody wants to rank other people or how in people's brains they think it's okay to look at someone and think about them like that. Like, it actually is perplexing to me. And I think that sometimes these people don't understand that that is weird. And I think we're entering a new era with body image and the way that people discuss bodies, where we're regressing hard. We're regressing so fucking hard. And I think more often you're seeing people talk about bodies and people's appearances in a way that almost feels like they're unaware that not everybody's brains work like that. Like, they're not aware that not everyone is constantly looking at the people around them and hyper analyzing every part of them, comparing them to you, to other people. It seems like some people genuinely can't fathom that other people aren't nitpicking other people's bodies like that. And it is crazy to me. When I tell you, genuinely, not once ever in my entire fucking life have I ever looked around at my friends and debated in my head who was the hottest out of all of us. That is genuinely never once in my life crossed my mind. Why would it? Like, I'm beautiful. All my friends are beautiful. I would have to be an evil, sick, and twisted fucking person to look around at my friends and even attempt to rank them. Not only is it fucking mean, it's also like deranged. I think that everybody is beautiful in their own ways, in different ways. There's no use in comparing people or ranking people on a fucking scale. It's like, what's the scale then? The person who is as closely in alignment with the beauty standard to the person who isn't, like how much money someone has to pour into their appearance to someone who doesn't, like, what is the scale with which you're ranking people? And be honest about it, because I think if people were honest about it, they would be fucking embarrassed about what it is, this scale inside their head, how they're actually, you know, ranking people, what metric it really is. If you said it out loud, I'm sure that you would be fucking embarrassed about it, because it is fucking embarrassing. That is really weird to look at people and think things like that. Many people do not think those things. Many people, their brain starts to short circuit even at the mere mention of doing those things. Even saying all of this out loud, my brain starts to be like, what the fuck? Like, what the hell? Like, I can't stomach the idea of having to think about the people I love that way. I would never do that, because it's fucking dumb. And that's a really weird way to move through life and to look at the people around you. If I were you, I would absolutely bring this up. I don't think that you should just forget it. I think this is worth having a conversation about. And I think that you are going to have to take a long, hard look at this person and your friendship and decide if this kind of behavior is something that you're cool with, and that you're okay with being around. I can't tell you how you should feel, but for me, I would not want to be friends with someone who moved through life in this way and that looked at other people like this. I think it's nasty. To me, it's like indicative of more behaviors that I disagree with. Like, I just think that someone who moves through life and looks at other people like this is someone that I don't have a lot in common with. That's how I feel. You're going to feel how you feel. At the very least, it's deserving of a conversation because that's completely fucking unacceptable. And I think that they should know how deeply unacceptable and weird it is to rank your friends and say that out loud. That's fucking bizarre. And especially in the era of body image conversation that we're in right now, I think we need to continue getting better at telling people they're being fucking bizarre. I'm really sorry that was said to you. That is really deeply fucking rude. And you deserve friends that are not hyperanalyzing your appearance like that. That is really weird. A lot of people do not act like that. I would jump to say most people don't act like that, but I don't know. Most people in my life don't act like that. And I would hope that in the lives of everyone listening to this, the most people in your life don't act like that. And if they do, we might have some people to get rid of. I'm going to throw it on over to the post show because there's been so much going on the internet this week that we just have to discuss. The lady who is in love with her psychiatrist and is relying on an AI that she named Henry for all of her feedback. Listen, we've got to talk about that. I watched all of those videos when we were driving up to go whitewater rafting and it took me hours, probably. My sister was like, how the fuck are you still watching those videos? But I was locked in. I've watched all of them and we need to discuss it because I have thoughts as well as some other cuckoo bananas things I've seen online over the past week. I literally was taking notes while I was up in Maine. So come hang with us over on the Patreon if you want to hear more about everything that's been going on in my brain and my media consumption over the last 2 weeks. And if not, I'll see you guys in next week's episode. Mwah. Love ya.